Now we ask Brother Frank. We will also ask one day Brother Rus to say something. God has blessed him. And the word is always the same, regardless of whom it is being read and of whom it is being presented. You were already welcomed, and we mean it like this. We mean it. We believe that God calls his people together from all peoples, tongues, and nations, as God promised to Abraham, in thee shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. And as lined out by Paul in Galatians 3, that the nations were blessed in Jesus Christ. That we have the privilege at the end of the time of grace to hear the true words of God, to believe them, and to get them revealed, is a sure sign that we found grace in the sight of God. We received phone calls from Brother Manfred, from Santiago, from brethren from Africa who were hearing and who were seeing. Altogether, 180 computers were connected. One doesn't know how many thousands were hearing and seeing. Brother John, of course, already announced what God will do and what he did. And Brother Daniel, he writes us this morning an email that there were 66 connections in Romania and that the children of God in all of the country yesterday, they were hearing and they were seeing and witnessing. Then he writes here that the preacher in the Pentecostal church declared publicly, never before did we get the word of God preached with such an authority. The word of God is in itself the absolute, the divine authority. Not Moses was the authority, but God and God's word was and is the authority. Brother Wallström is always sending greetings. Brother Graf is greeting. All the brethren from near and far are sending greetings. We are just grateful that we have the possibility to reach the whole world. I had to think about it, how God was leading everything. Also, the various stages of the past years. No one can something for it, that we became a part of the plan of salvation. Then is fulfilled that what God promised. Before we go into our word observation, let me say something. The Israel trip will in this year, God willing, and if enough persons register, it will take place from the 7th to the 17th of May. The round trip at Easter time will start on Good Friday up to Easter Monday, the Lord willing. God willing, we will be in Berlin on Good Friday, in Prague on Saturday, in Salzburg on Sunday, in Böblingen on Easter Monday, so that we can include everyone, and we hope that God will give grace to it and that some who are staying in the surroundings, that they can come and that they can participate in the meetings. Then we have reports from all over the world what God is doing. We cannot go into details, but we are very, very grateful for that, what God has done. And if we receive reports that the enemy is also doing his things, then only that the genuine ones are manifested, those who keep their stand in the word and who believe forever what God's word says. Today, I would like to read some quotes of what God has given us from the very beginning on our ways. And I'm looking back now, many, many years ago. I will spend not much time with it, but just that you get an overall view in what kind of way God was accompanying us from the very beginning, also giving visions and revelations and speaking in our midst. The following I have written down here, and I will read it to you. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, pay attention to my great work, which I do in these days. 31st of December, 1966. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, my children, be attentive in this hour, for I will speak to you as I did it in the olden days. That was on the 31st of December, 1967. My people, my children, my elect, I have gathered you at a prepared table. 11th of February, 1968. Next one. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, mine elect, I am in your midst. Although your feet are still on this earth, but you are gathered in heavenly places. 2nd of November, 1969. From every year, I just chose one of these prophecies which God has given us. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, hearken to my voice in this time. You are living in a glorious and wonderful time. From every country, I'm adding member upon member. As precious stones, I'm joining them together. To my bride, I'm adding them, and not for the glory of a man. 15th of August, 1970. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, my children, mine elect, I worked among you in a mighty way. 22nd of September, 1971. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, I've laid the cornerstone in your midst. The foundation has been uncovered. Jealously, I'm watching over my work. I did not permit that the boundaries are displaced. 1st of November, 1972. Behold, thus saith the Lord, here is the site of my manifestation, and if I now have a vessel in your midst, if I decorated it and prepared it, when you see the faithfulness from all sides, then hearken to that, hearken to the work which I do, and hear my voice. 15th of June 1973. Behold, thus saith the Lord, as a little flame, my bride was despised many times here on this earth, and the light was put under the bushel. But as the light of the Gentiles, as the light for the lost, I have appointed you. 6th of October 1973. Next message. Behold, thus saith the Lord, holy is this place, and holy is my people. See how I have erected them all. They were standing there before me, and I have given out wonderful gifts, wonderful garments have you received from my hands. 27th of April 74. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, the decision was made. The Carmel hour is at hand. 11th of September 74. My people, was I not exalted for you? Did I not go to the cross for you? Have I not given everything what is necessary for your salvation? Have I not given you food? 11th of January 1975. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, verily, it's you who have heard the eagle message. You are the ones who have heard angel's word, my everlasting gospel, which was before the foundation of the world. And behold, you are the people, you are the flock, which will see when the capstone will be placed, and when you will come to perfection. 2nd of June 1975. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my saints, my bride, gathered at this place where I erected my sanctuary. I've spoken to you times before that I, for the glory of my cross, I will bring pearls from many countries for the glory of my cross, not for the glory of a man. And you see this fulfilled at this place. For my covenant, the bow of my covenant is spread over you. I've spoken to nations. I've blessed my bride. I've revealed my word, given from my sanctuary. Just two more prophecies. Behold, thus saith the Lord, I went out to bless you, to visit you from on high. I am come with the brightness of my rays to you. I have spoken to you. Remain under the bow of my covenant. remain under my rays. 21st of September, 75. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my servant, pray for brother and sister Schmidt, for I have brought them from far countries for the glory of my cross. As pearls I have appointed them there where my head was lying, where my crown of thorns was, there they were appointed. Therefore worship at this place, and pray you for them. 24th of September, 75. Perhaps this one more here. Behold, thus saith the Lord, my people, be of good courage in this hour. For behold, my grace is with you, and I have planned these hours and these days. My grace is with you, and time and again I visit you. Oh, that your eyes could be open and you could see the bow of my covenant spread over this place at all times. And not only that, also in the pillar of the cloud I'm here, and I've put up my camp on this platform. I am with you. 15th of April, 1976. I was just reading these 14 prophecies or messages to let you know, especially to let you know who did not witness the beginnings here, to let you know that God indeed from the very beginning was with us and among us. And even the interruption which happened in 79, God used so that more nations can hear the word of the Lord. 1979, I visited exactly 86 countries. Now it's 136. God knows exactly what He's doing and what He allows, whether we like it or not. Everything must go around God. And as the people of Israel went through trials and were kept in bondage, but God, of course, has given the promise to lead back. And when the time was fulfilled, God was leading back. The temple was again built. Then the people of Israel were again scattered into all the world in the year 70 after Christ. And behold, at the end of days, they returned from 143 countries of the earth into the land of promise, into the land of their fathers. God makes all damage well again. The greatest damage which the enemy does or thinks to have done, this damage God makes well again. And we believe that the church of the Lord more and more understands that we can only hear the word of the Lord with godly fear getting it revealed with reverence. The fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom. And he who does not respect the word of God, to him it cannot be revealed. Only he who hears and receives the word by faith, to him it can be revealed by the Spirit. And as we heard yesterday from these statements of Brother Branham, which I want to quote once again, it is about not to dislocate the word. And here one could already say, one must pay attention precisely. Where does it, for instance, say, when the Son of Man is revealed? And where it is written, when the Son of Man comes and will sit onto the throne of his glory? Just placing it biblically into the context into which it belongs, to really have and present everything biblically. We spoke here about it. If now the four Son titles of our Lord are used in the Holy Scripture, Son of Abraham, Son of David, Son of God, Son of Man, then this has a reason. Then it must be like this. Then it belongs to the divine order. We can, of course, not go into details, but it is just like that. When our Lord says, when you see the Son of Man going up where he was before, there cannot be Son of David. There cannot be written Son of God. There, Son of Man must be written. Because already in the Old Testament, as Lord revealed himself as in the shape of a man, among men, walking in the Garden of Eden, creating man in his image, revealing himself to the prophets, sitting down with Abraham, eating with him. When we read Son of God, it belongs there. If we read Son of David, it belongs there. When we read Son of Man, it belongs there. Just everything belongs there where it is written. And therefore, also Brother Branham gave this serious warning. And then, not taking any word out of context and not misinterpreting any word. This was the perdition of all denominations. They were interpreting the word until from the word itself nothing remained. What remained were the interpretations. And up to this very day, all of Christianity, all the churches and fellowships and denominations, they became prisoners in the interpretations which they made. Prisoners in their own interpretations they became. And therefore, the word must be preached, the original word, so that people are taken out of the interpretations and are transferred into the liberty of the children of God. The other 5 points, I also want to mention them now, from the mouth of Brother Branham. It must happen at his time. The Lord says, your time is always, my hour has not yet come. It must be at his time, according to his word and according to his will. And therefore, we at this place will have no own program, but we remain a part of the working of God until the end. And to this God will give grace. Second point, it must be according to His word. It must be checkable. If our brothers and sisters in Berea, when the apostles were preaching, when they were searching the Holy Scriptures, then not because they didn't believe what was preached. They believed what was preached, but they wanted to be sure that they can put their foot of faith upon the Scripture. And not only believing because Paul said it, but believing because God said it. Because God said it in His Word. Then we have here also the point, it must be the person of His choice. God makes the choice. God made the choice with Abraham. Abraham in Ur, in Chaldea. Yes, he was serving other gods together with Tara and who they were. Yes, and suddenly the Lord came and visited him, calling, election, sending, everything on one spot. Brothers and sisters, God has given us men who had a personal connection and relationship to God. And all agree in their testimony. When we think about in what time span the Old Testament was written, and the various writers at the various times, at various places they lived, and everything is one glorious harmony. Then also the point which Brother Branham emphasized, it must be first revealed to His prophets. God had only one prophet, and in the majority were always prophets whom God did not send. And therefore, it's written with the false prophets, it doesn't say one single time the word servant, not a single time the word servant is written. Everywhere where one reads in the prophet Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, in all of the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, only with the true prophets. We have the composition, the term, my servants, the prophets, do my prophets no harm, touch not mine anointed one. And so we recognize that God had His servants and prophets. Prophets to receive the word, servants to serve the Lord and to pass on the word. And then Peter writes of the prophets of the Old Testament, they did not serve themselves, but they served us who we found grace in the sight of God. And then the Apostle Paul writes, what was hidden in the past ages, this God revealed now to His holy prophets and apostles. Just read how often Paul used for himself the word servant, servant. I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a servant. Everywhere he called himself a servant. Already in the first epistle to the Romans, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to preach the gospel of God. And now comes the justification, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Not some kind of gospel, but the gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we have the full agreement of the Old and New Testament, from announcements and promises up to their fulfillment until the completion, when the Lord will finish his work of redemption, just as he finished his creation work. Everything is under control, although it takes too long for us. But just imagine, it would have been, the door of grace would have been closed already 40 years ago. How many would have remained outside? Let us be thankful for every day which God still gives us. Let us be thankful for every soul which still is being called out. Just to mention this here, even if one reads up the term harvest in the Holy Scripture, then one must pay attention precisely. When does the Lord speak of the harvest, which during the whole time of grace is being brought in? And when does he speak of the harvest at the end of time? Also, this is very important. If we, for instance, read in the Gospel of Luke, there we have the question or the request that the Lord might send laborers into his harvest. I was thinking, yes, in this case it's Luke 10, pardon me, it's Luke 10. Here it's written, Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Here we have the first point. The Lord sends his messengers into that city, into that country in which he wants to come himself. He sends them and he goes with them. He sends them and goes with them. The people are just seeing the messenger, but God sends the messenger to bring his message. And so we also witnessed it with Brother Branham. He was the messenger who had to bring a message. And as all the prophets were the mouth of the Lord, so also Brother Branham in our time has been the mouth of God. But listen, what is written here in verse 2 in Luke chapter 10. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So, here he sends out to sow the seed and to bring in the harvest. When we in comparison read to this from Matthew chapter 3, out of that, what John the Baptist spoke out prophetically, and what he said in view of the end. Let us read it in Matthew chapter 3 from verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then listen closely, verse 12. Whose winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is already the end. Not that what happened during the 2000 years and what is behind us. But here the man of God speaks of that, what will happen at the end. Let us read in Matthew 13. Here we have it a couple of times. We are told a couple of times what will be at the end. The Lord will thoroughly purge his floor. And at the end, it is not only about the laborers in the vineyard. We have heard it in the word of introduction. The Lord is the vine, and we are the branches. Here, it speaks of the harvest, namely Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We read from verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this world age. And only now, for the end, it speaks of reapers who are angels. This is just very important that one knows what phase, what time, moment is meant when the Word of God says something to us, my Lord. Then in verse 41, it says, As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Not within the all of the time of grace, but at the last phase, at the end of the last phase of the time of grace. It will be like this. And listen what will happen at the end. Matthew 13. Verse 42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do lawlessness, not the laborers who were sent into the harvest, but the angels. Our task is not to mention brothers by name and to say this brother is doing this and this and he is so wrong and so wrong. This is not our task. Our duty is to preach the everlasting gospel, and everything else God will do at his time without that we have to take care of it. And here we have the word lawlessness. There's always a key word for every connection in the Holy Scripture. In Matthew 7, we have the same word, which the Lord will say to them who can show everything, signs and wonders, but who already before are called by the Lord Himself as false prophets. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And then the Lord says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 20. And verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but those who are doing the will of my heavenly Father, they will enter into the kingdom of heaven. In verse 23, we read, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness or iniquity. Signs and wonders, and yet doers of lawlessness. And with this, one has to go necessarily to all the other scriptures, up to 2 Thessalonians 2, where it speaks of the Antichrist as the lawless one who exalts himself above everything what is called God or what is worshipped, and who says of himself that he is God. So, these gentlemen remained in the same doctrine, under the same influence of the lawless one they remained. They did not accept the correction of the word. And here, we must get personal now, without judging. We don't want to root up everything. We want to let it grow until the harvest. But all these great men in all the charismatic movements and meetings, they can all refer to Brother Branham. Perhaps not in the third wave, but in the first and the second revival wave, they can all refer to Brother Branham. But they, before the people, they declared him to be false. They said, publicly they said, that he has a false doctrine, which one shall not believe. Even Du Plessis, this Mr. Pentecost, who 1964 was in Rome, I was also there. I was together with him. He declared it publicly, and he said, we know that Brother Branham is a prophet, but his doctrine is poison for the people. And this one shall put together. This is impossible. If a man is a prophet, then he is the mouth of God. Then he has received the revelation of the word, and the scripture testifies of it, that he is the mouth of God. But it continues. Dear brothers and sisters, in the book of Acts, it came to the moment that they said to the apostles, you may not continue to preach in the name of Jesus. You may not do anything anymore in the name of Jesus. You all know the book of Acts. You can read it. The persecution broke forth. And the command was to stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4. And the climax is here, verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Yes, now we have it. But our Lord, of course, said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and teach all nations. Teach all nations. And now the apostles should not be allowed to teach. Not be allowed to teach under the using of the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I say here today, all of the charismatic movement is heading to ecumenism, is going back to Rome, and the moment comes. And Brother Branham said it, it will be in the last time period where the mighty things are happening, that the preaching to us will be forbidden to us. Because we are not of the world community, because we are not willing to submit to Rome and the Roman baptism and so forth. That's how it is written in church history. The Roman baptismal creed, the Roman baptismal creed, in the formula, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We don't believe in a Roman baptismal creed. We believe in the baptism as it was left to us in the Holy Scripture. And every baptism since the founding of the New Testament church happened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Roman Church teaches that all who are baptized in the formula, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that they do not need to be baptized again. It's enough to be baptized like this, because they were baptized with the baptism which is valid in the Roman Church. No Lutheran needs to be baptized again. He, of course, is already baptized as the Roman Church likes it. Now we have the point and hear it in the name of the Lord. The calling out and separation will only hear those and obey those, and only those will be aligned who really understood that it was not a Brother Branham who said one day, now it's my turn to be on the scene, but that it was the Almighty God who came down to, before the return of Jesus Christ, to turn the hearts of the children of God back to the faith of the fathers at the beginning. And here we think, really, on the word from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37, when the prophet Elijah called the people together, building the altar, bringing the sacrifice, and praying to the Lord God, let it be known today that you are the true God in Israel, and that I am your servant. And then came the confirmation from heaven. And then it says, and all the people fell on their faces and gave glory to God, because the Lord turned their hearts back again. Also, we must here distinguish. There are many within the message who are going so far that they say the message is every statement of Brother Branham. And are indeed bypassing the Bible. And then we have the privilege before the Almighty God to say, every sermon which the man of God was preaching came from the Holy Scripture and brought us back into the Holy Scripture. And so we believe according to the Scripture. Also to this we can just thank God that we have this privilege to be very sober. And everything what God promised to us and given to us, that we receive it and accept it by faith. If we at this place have to speak in such a clear way, then really to give a wake up so that the last ones understand that the teaching has gone forth from Jerusalem and not from Rome, and that the word of God came forth from Jerusalem and not from somewhere, and that we have to return to the original doctrine, to the fountain, must return, and the preaching of today must be in line with the preaching of yesterday. There must be a divine harmony from the beginning until the end. The same we know, we also know that offenses must come. Also this the Lord said in Luke 17 verse 1, offenses must come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him that a millstone would be hanged around his neck and one would cast him into the sea than that he should become an offense for the church. Then of course causing confusions and divisions and splits. Here's the point. Every true doctrine unites God's people. Until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Here, no one needs to agree with a man. Here we agree with God at this place. Every doctrine which does not come from God causes divisions. Everything else comes. And then it comes so far that in the same city there are one, two, or three or more churches. When I was the last time in Tucson, in the past year, they told me how many message churches there are in this city. I was shaking my head and I could not believe it myself. And also here we are at the point to say it biblically here. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth or in Ephesus or wherever it was, then he didn't write to two or three churches, but he wrote to one church at one place. And this one church at the one place is the foundation of the truth. And there lie has no place. False prophets have no place. False prophecies have no place. Only God has the holy right to work according to his word. And where God is present and where he works, there is unity in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is joining together. I don't know whether it stood out to you, but to me it stands out that the love among one another is getting stronger and stronger. It's getting stronger and stronger. Just be honest now. Can we still live without one another? In glory, we of course will sit at one table celebrating the marriage supper with the Lord. Can we do this if we avoid one another here and maybe turning our backs toward one another? When God turns his face to us, then let us turn our face to one another. Let us look one another into the eyes. Let us accept one another just as God accepted us in Christ Jesus, until we come to the unity, to the complete unity of the faith. Father, I want that they whom you have given me, that they all may be one, as you, Father, in me and I in them. And then we don't know one another after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And all who walk according to this rule, that's how Paul writes it in the last verses in Galatians, may the peace of God come upon them. There is a rule, there is a guideline after which we have to walk. Now, the main thought. The ministry of our brethren came therein to the climax that they were not only giving teachings to the local churches how everything should be with the gifts and ministries and elders and deacons and so forth. The purpose of the true proclamation is that a church without spot and without wrinkle is ready at the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And here we are at the point, even though we would know all the mysteries, even we could place everything, and even we would have faith to move mountains, but if we would not have the true love of God, then we are just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So God wants to take care of that with us, everything becomes like that as it was at the beginning. They were one heart and one soul. When Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 14 that we shall be found of him blameless and without spot and wrinkle, then may God the Lord grant it to us. When Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 2 and 3, he writes, I want to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin, then please accept it and believe it. Believe it. And take heed, take heed. In the next verse, he says, but I fear that as Eve was beguiled, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What is it? God reveals himself in simplicity. And we must serve the Lord, following him and believing, only believing what the Scripture has said, also in reference to the completion, to the calling out of the Church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Ephesians 4, we have the description of the ministries, so that all are coming to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Once again, to summarize it, God has given the promise before the day of grace is coming to its end, before the day of salvation is no more, and before the door will be closed, that he, in this prophetic age, that he would send a prophet, and this he said himself Behold, I send. Behold, I send. Malachi 3, 1. Behold, I send my angel before my face. And then, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And here's the point. One can ask, and others can ask you and me, can you prove that this man was that man whom God promised? You and I. We don't have to prove anything. We just have to get it revealed by God. And it cannot be understood. Then just discussions are coming up. How many times have you said it? Where there are still discussions, there's no revelation. And where revelation is, there are no discussions anymore. And so, by also this regard, we may trust the Lord. How did they know at that time who Jesus Christ is? The Lord spoke to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And our Lord says also today in Matthew 11, no one knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom he will reveal it. Whom he will reveal it. Revelation comes not by discussions. Revelation comes in the moment where you believe the word of God with all your heart. And it comes in the presence of the Lord. Also yesterday, we were reading it. The disciples, they were walking with the Lord and their hearts were burning, because he spoke to them. Now, just to show you from the Holy Scripture, with the angel of the covenant, this I want to give you on your way to see Revelation 4 and Revelation 10 a bit better from the Holy Scripture, to see it here. In Acts, chapter 7, we read from verse 30. Acts 7, from verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. You can read it in Exodus 3. There three terms are mentioned: angel of the Lord, Lord and God. All three terms are mentioned in this connection in Exodus chapter 3. But because here it was about a message, therefore he is the angel of the covenant. I read on, verse 31. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight of the Lord. At the sight of the Lord. Before we were reading, an angel appeared to Moses in a flame of fire. Here Moses is wondering about this appearance of the Lord. And the Lord said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and Jacob. Then Moses trembled and dared not to behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Brothers and sisters, when God speaks to us, then also the place is sanctified through his presence. Through his presence, the place is sanctified. Then we read in verse 35, this Moses, whom they refused saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Now verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Moses received the words so that he should declare it to the people. The Lord God, in the shape of an angel, as the angel of the covenant, he spoke, and Moses received the words. And when we then read in Revelation chapter 10 of the angel of the covenant, and the rainbow is the very clear sign of the covenant. And I tell you also why. Because in Revelation chapter 4, the rainbow is over him who sits on the throne. Here, Revelation chapter 4, here it says, let us read verse 2, or last part from verse 1. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So, one was sitting on the throne, and the rainbow was surrounding him. Then we have, and please, after the opening of the seals, which are described here in chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, very clearly described up to chapter 9. Here we are told in chapter 10, verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it, and so forth and so forth. So, let us read every scripture as it is. Let us leave it there where it is. And let us respect God's word up into the smallest detail. Here, the Lord is shown to us as the angel of the covenant. As in Malachi 3 it's written, and the angel of the covenant shall suddenly come to you, the Lord in whom you delight. He shall come suddenly. Malachi 3:1. Brothers and sisters, the harmony in this word is so convincing, so tremendous, that we can do nothing but to thank God. Doesn't matter what subject, be it end time, be it harvest, be it calling out. And do you know, also the calling out, I'm just reminded on it now, from 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, I think it's there, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, here we have also the word lawlessness. The word lawlessness Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. And here, we have it again. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Brothers and sisters, whoever finds the key word and who is led by the Holy Spirit into all truth, to him God gives the revelation and the overall view over the whole plan of salvation. One could go into various things now. The apostles had really trouble with all the false brethren, false teachers and false doctrines. And nothing was more clear predicted than that. Namely, that the genuine and the fake, the true and the false, would be so close together that if it were possible, also the elect would be deceived. Matthew 24, verse 24. And therefore the warning, the message of the hour, the calling out from all lawlessness, out from everything what is not in agreement with God and His Word, to come out of it. Let us say it in closing as it is. All of the charismatic, regardless of any direction it might be, they all are in the Trinity doctrine, all in the triune baptism, all are in their own programs, and yet they say that they have the confirmation of God because this and that is happening. And most of the time, not so much is happening as they claim to happen. But the problem is really therein that they think by themselves that God confirms them. Will God confirm a man who is in error? This is impossible. So we see, in our time, all these things are happening. They're going on. God has given us the grace to distinguish, not to look on signs and wonders, but looking to the Lord. And that we received His Word, that we respect His Word, and that we got His Word revealed. And therein we recognize that we found grace in the sight of God, because He has let us know His ways. Please remember what Brother Branham said in all seriousness, leaving every word as it is written, leaving it in the context in which it belongs. The whole thing is making up a unity, but it must be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And this is our deep desire and wish, to be taught by God, to be led by the Holy Spirit, until we as the Bride Church are filled with the Holy Ghost and are being endued with the power from on high, and so that the last phase can take its course. So much we know, God's Word is our absolute. And He who started will also finish. And He who has given the commission and who said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. a way preparer, someone who opened the prison houses, someone who proclaimed liberty so that all are being helped on the day of salvation. One can just say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Our Lord says, also today, he says, have you understood all this? Just say amen. When the Lord would ask today, have you understood the connections? Have you understood what the Lord wanted to say to us today? Look to the goal. As we're reading yesterday, and as Brother Branham said so clearly, only who has his eyes fixed on the goal is reaching it. Don't look on difficulties. Don't look to the right or to the left, but to the goal. And Paul says, we who we are goal-orientated, we want to have our eyes fixed on him, on our Lord. And to this belongs, and may God help us all. As Paul has said, I forget what is behind me. I forget what is behind me. And I stretch forth to that, to the goal which is before me. May it be granted to all of us not to look back anymore, but to look forward. Our Lord will finish his work with his church unto the day of the return of Jesus Christ. That's how it is written. This is our absolute. And that's how we believe it. The Lord God is present. The Lord God has consecrated this place to speak to his people and to lead us into all the truth by his word and by his spirit. To him, the Almighty God, who spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to Elijah, to all the prophets, who spoke to John the Baptist, who spoke to Brother Branham, who spoke to Paul, to all. He also has spoken to us today and also yesterday. Many times he spoke to us. And him we will now bring the adoration together and all the praise. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Perhaps we sing the chorus, Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord. Let us sing it prayerfully.
Komm aus der Höhe, komm Geist des Herrn, rausche und wehe, o bleib nicht fern. Rausche und wehe, o bleib nicht fern, göttliches Feuer, falle herab. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gabe. Du bist uns teuer, himmlische Gabe. Alle zusammen tauf aus der Höhe, das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen. Das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen.
Perhaps we ask the two sisters to sing us the song, Are You Ready at That Hour? That's what it's all about. Let us remain in prayer. And already now, we would like to call and ask to come to the Lord with all the troubles, with all what we have. No one needs to go from here with trouble, with sickness or with sin. The Lord is present. The days of the Bible are here again. The Lord speaks to us so directly as He would speak to us if He could stand visibly before us. Respect His word. Respect it. And then together we will thank.
Bist du bereit zu der Stunde, wenn Gott die Seinen heimholt? Hast du vernommen die Kunde, wie er die Seinen belohnt, wenn er erscheint in den Wolken, in Majestät und in Pracht? Ich kann's nicht sagen in Worten, mein Herz es jubelt und lacht. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Kannst du begreifen die Liebe, die Jesus Christus dir beut? Bist du mit ihm dann im Frieden, wenn Jesus käme noch heut? Er hat die Städte bereitet für die noch wartende Schar, die immer treu für ihn streiten. Es kommt der verheißene Tag. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Nichts ist vom Leid mehr geblieben, Spott und Hohn sind dann vorbei. Jesus will allzeit ich lieben, dies meine Losung soll sein. Möchtest du mit in die Heimat, willst Jesus du einmal sehen? Er nur bringt dich in die schöne Stadt, du brauchst nur zu Jesus zu gehen. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand. Herrlich auf goldenen Straßen, herrlich im Vaterland, wundervoll sind seine Werke, herrlich im weißen Gewand.
Praise and thanks be unto our Lord. Also today He says to us, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will quicken you. I will give you rest for your souls. Should there be friends amongst us who did not yet experience a conversion, who did not yet surrender their lives to the Lord, who did not receive yet personally the work of redemption for themselves, don't go home like this. Come to the Lord. Come today. Every day without Him is a lost day. So may God give grace. As we are having our heads bowed, let me ask, how many would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord? Do we have some? God bless. I think especially on all the young people, who perhaps are still fighting an inner battle and who feel that the Lord is calling them, but who could not break through yet, namely that His Spirit gives testimony to their spirit that they became the children of God, because thus it is written in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God, namely to those who believe on His name. We may believe on His name because it is written, you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. There is no other name given unto men under heaven than the name of Jesus, who is so despised of this world, but for us it is the most precious name which there is. Name above name, where alone is all salvation, Jesus Christ, King, Priest, and Prophet, Savior, and Healer, all in all, we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Although we don't call to the front, yet you know that the Lord is calling you and that you can come to Him. How many are here who are sick? Let us believe today. Let us just believe. Faith is the victory which has overcome the world. Faith moves the arm of God. Faith becomes the absolute. As Brother Branham said it very clearly, when we anchor our faith in the promise of God, then we have the divine absolute. We are not guessing anymore, but we have the revelation received. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. He has taken away all our trespasses from us. He has torn in pieces the letter of requirements. He has shed His blood. He has given His life, so that we are delivered of death, receiving the forgiveness of sins, and receiving eternal life. Who wants more? Could God have done more than to bring salvation to this lost world Himself? He Himself came to us and has brought us salvation. Just receive it. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am," and then we will pray.
Ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm. Lasst uns gemeinsam beten.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we thank thee for Calvary, for the finished work of redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank thee for eternal life, for the reconciliation, for the full salvation. Precious Lord, save all what is lost, heal what is sick, deliver what is bound, because the Spirit of the Lord is resting upon us, that we proclaim liberty to the captives and that to the sick that they are healed and to the lost that they are saved. It is the work of God in and through us all. Dear Lord, confirm thy word and bless your church. Hallelujah. O God, I pray for all who are here and for all over the earth. Give revelation by your Holy Spirit for your church. Lead your church forward in faith. Have your own way with us. Thy will be done as in heaven, so also on earth. Bless us and make us a blessing, especially all the ministering brethren. May you bless them in all peoples, tongues and nations, and may your word not return void, but made accomplish for what you have sent it for. Here and today and all over, forever. Precious Lord, you have prepared the place for us, and you will come again. We believe that it will happen soon, that it will happen in our time. We thank thee that we can see the signs of the time, the handwriting on the wall. We can see so clearly. We thank thee for the word of prophecy, and all the people shall praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Sage Gott Dank.
Thank God.
Rühmt seinen heiligen Namen.
Glorify his wonderful name.
Rühmet die Kraft seines Blutes.
Glorify the power of his blood and of his word
und seines
and of his spirit.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise sei Gott. Praise sei Gott. Und alles Volk sage Amen. 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 Können wir singen Amen, Halleluja? Amen, Halleluja. Du bist das A und O, Anfang und End. Du sollst der Erste sein, du sollst der Letzte sein, in aller Ewigkeit, Halleluja. Du sollst der Erste sein, du sollst
Amen. You may be seated.